الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم يسأله من في السماوات والأرض كل يوم هو في شان صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Congratulations to all of you as we are commemorating the Milad of Sayyid al-Shuhada, Imam Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And the Milad of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salatu wa salam and that of Imam Zain al-Abidin Ali ibn Husayn al-Sajjad alayhi salatu wa salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the personality who is considered by the Holy Prophet as the most beloved personality among all the Ahlul Samawat and all the Ahlul Ardh. Because the Prophet has said, "Man arada an yanzura ila ahabbi ahli al-ardi was-samaa, falyanzur ila al-Husayn." Whosoever wants to look at the most beloved person among the dwellers of the heaven and the dwellers of the earth should look at Husayn. And we find that this love that Imam Hussein alayhi salam enjoys is because of his earned levels and maqamat. Because the Prophet had mentioned and prophesized that inna laka la darajat lan tanalaha illa bishahada. You have certain levels which you will never reach without shahadat. So it's not an emotional thing. We have nothing emotional in Islam. That we love Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not out of emotions. There is no room for emotions in Islam. Everything is pre-calculated, well-defined, well-known, founded on concrete, unshakable evidences. And we believe that Imam Hussein alayhi salam has earned those high levels. You know, maqamat iktisabiyya. That means maqamat iktisabi. The earned levels that he has earned because of his sacrifices and because of his shahadat and because of his service for the sake of i'la of kalimat al-haq. Certainly our 25 minutes of time is very insufficient to talk about all the aspects of Imam Hussein's personality, but today I would like to mention only one aspect in the light of this verse of Holy Quran from Surah Al-Rahman, يَسْأَلُهُ من فی السماوات والارض کل یوم ہو فی شان. So this ayat of Holy Quran from Surah Ar-Rahman provides, gives us a lesson of raja and tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the greatest lessons that we learned from the life history of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. And I would like to emphasize on this one aspect in these few minutes of the speech about him. And then I would like to talk about a few minutes on the importance of Quran, because we are celebrating the Khatm al-Quran of Huda, mashallah, so which is also a very important subject and very important event. So first of all, yas'aluhu man fis samawati wal ard, everyone in the heavens and earth asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yas'aluhu is the fi'l al-mudari, which yadullu ala al-tajaddud wal-istimrar wal-dawam. That means constantly the people of heavens and earth are asking none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's Allah who the people turn to and ask Him. Everything else is anyway is fani. Kullu man alayha fan. Wa yabqa wajhu rabbika dhul jalali wal ikram. So everything in the universe is already fani in the thaqafat and dictionary of Quran. It's not just on that at the time of death we will be destroyed. Although in Islam the destruction does not equal to fana in the real sense of in the meaning of total removal of the wujud and conversion of wujud and transformation of wujud into adam. This is not what Islam believes, not at all. You know, we believe that it's just an intiqal. We believe that it's not total removal of wujud into adam and transfer of wujud into adam at all, but a wujud can never be transferred into adam. So everything is just a time where the soul and the body is separated from each other. It's the time where the nizam of mawjudat is converted into a different form of existence. And now then we enter into the stage of barzakh, wa min waraihim barzakh ila yawmi yub'athoon. So basically Islam is informing us that we get transferred into a different stage of life. Not a total destruction of wujud into adam, and existence into non-existence, not at all. So when we believe that we are in the stage of fana, every moment of our life we are heading towards the fana. And so we realize that in every moment, in every aspect of our life, we stand in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just at the time of inception and creation of the universe, but at every single moment in the duration of its existence also. Not just at the time of its creation only. So every moment we stand in need of Allah. All the blessings that we enjoy, which are countless. Every moment when I can see with my eyes, the blessing of vision which Allah has given me. Every moment the al-iradatu takwiniya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be there for me to receive the blessing of vision continuously for my eyesight. There has to be an irada at-takwiniya of Allah constantly existing for me to be able to see things with my eyes. Likewise, there is an irada at-takwiniya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly existing for me to have and to retain the power of listening. This ni'mat of Allah, power of moving my hands, power of talking, power of feeling, power, you know, walking around, and all those other countless blessings which I enjoy, and likewise the whole universe enjoys all those blessings. So these constant blessings of Allah are showering upon us constantly, and we should be very
برائے امام حسین علیہ السلام.
So, since we stand in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, and even the word yawm, kulla yawmin, every day he's engaged in a different job. In a job, he's doing a work, he's doing his job, he's doing things. Allah is busy in creating things, you know, min jadid, from new. Things were never, that never used to exist. So every day, this word day in the ayat of Quran from Surah Al-Rahman, kulla yawmin, is never translated as day in the tafsir. It does not mean day. It means a duration. It may be longer durations of time, it may be shorter durations of time. Any duration, long or short, it falls in the category of yawm. Yawm doesn't mean our 24-hour, duration of the daytime that we are calculating in this planet Earth after the creation of the solar system and after we fell into this solar system. So now we are forced to take the days and nights according to our sunrise and sunset. So this is something which is beyond the creation of solar system. This yawm is not restricted to this solar system. Any duration, big or small, the yawm is not restricted in the sense of, you know, a smaller, what I mean to say, in the sense of, you know, long or short durations of time. So in all durations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing His work and creating things, you know. And so we find Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in his hadith, and that is narrated in Usul al-Kafi and also in Tafsir Nur al-Saqalain, where he says that, Alhamdulillah alladhi la yamut, all the praise be to Allah who doesn't die, وَلَا تَنْقَضِي عَجَائِبُهُ, and His wonders never end. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَانٍ مِنْ أَحْدَاثِ بَدِيعٍ لَمْ يَكُنْ. Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing the work, creating things that were never there. So every day He's creating new things. What does it mean He's creating new things? Look at the hadith which is narrated in Tafsir Majma'ul Bayan, in the tafsir of this ayat, which says that min sha'nihi, please pay attention, min sha'nihi an yaghfira dhanban, it's the job of Allah to forgive a sin, wa yufarrija karban, and to remove a calamity and problem and trouble a person may be facing, someone or something can may be facing, wa yarfa'u qawman, and to elevate a nation, wa yada'u akharin, and to downgrade a nation, other people. Every day he's doing these kinds of jobs. Some people are insulted by Allah. Some people are respected by Allah. Some people are killed by God. Some people are given life. Some people Allah gives shifa. Some people Allah inflicts them with harms and illnesses. Some Allah forgives them. Some people Allah subjects them with problems. Some people Allah subjects them with, you know, removes their calamities and troubles and problems. All these are constantly going on in divine domain. And this is what Allah is doing on daily basis. He is doing things constantly. Kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. In all durations, this is happening. And salama, salamati, za'af, young age, old age, illness, marad, shifa, all those things are constantly encountered by the people. Sometimes we are in sorrow, sometimes we are in pain, sometimes our pains are removed, sometimes we become happy. All these issues which are happening to our life, kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. It's Allah who is calling the shots. It's Allah who is in control. It's Allah who is governing. It's Allah who is supervising. It's Allah whose al-irada at-takwiniya, His supreme will related to the existences, His existential will is supreme over the entire universe. And nothing but His will is supreme. Now, how does this ayat relate to the tawakkul and hope concept? This ayat is very instrumental for every moment to realize and to keep our hopes high in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to keep our tawakkul and trust high. After, I already told you in the other night in my speech, that the concept of tawakkul is after doing our duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not before doing your... I cannot stay idle and I can say, well, I have tawakkul on Allah. This is silly. Islam is not promoting that. Tawakkul comes after you are done with your duty. Then you leave the result on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. you know, just like Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah alayhi used to say, no, ma mukallafe wazifeim na natije. So we have to leave our result on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after performing our duty towards Allah. What we need to focus on is our duty. And our philosophers have used this ayat of Holy Quran in proving al-harakatul jawhariya. This is, if you believe in Islamic philosophy, harakatul jawhari, you know, and that is also proven with the verse of this verse of Holy Quran, which we will go in a different tangent of discussion, and I don't want to go that. We don't have that time. It's narrated that you know, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, when he was heading towards Iraq on the Manzil al-Safah, he met with Farazdaq, the famous Sha'ir, who was coming from Kufa towards Makkah. And Imam alayhi salam asked him, Bayyin li khabar an-nasi khalfaka, inform me about the situation of the people behind you. That means people of Iraq whom you left there. What's their situation? What's their condition? Inform me. And Farazdaq said, Al-Khabira sa'alta. You ask the person who is well known, who knows very well, well aware person. That means Farazdaq said, I'm well aware of the situation of the Iraqi people there. So, and then he said, قُلُوبُ النَّاسِ مَعَكْ وَسُيُوفُهُمْ مَعَ بَنِي أُمَيَّةِ وَالْقَضَاءُ يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَاللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Their قُلُوبُ and hearts are with you. That means they would claim that, well, we love Imam Hussain alayhi salam, but وَسُيُوفُهُمْ مَعَ بَنِي أُمَيَّةِ, but their swords are with Bani Umayyah. When it comes to supporting the Tahut, they will be siding with the Tahut, will not support the Imam of the time. They will just have a lip service of saying, we love Imam Hussain. When it comes to the practical siding with whose policy you would side, the Tahut or the Wali of the time, they will be with the Tahut, with Bani Umayyah. فَالْقَضَاءُ يَنْزِلُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ, and the divine irada and divine qawa and divine decision is going to arrive, come down from the sama, from the heaven. وَاللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ, and what at the end of the day is going to happen is what Allah wishes. Farazdaq said such a nice statement. Imam replied, Sadaqta, you said the truth. And that's, you know, that means that's exactly what the truth is. And then Imam said, Lillahil amru yaf'alu ma yasha wa kulla yawmin rabbuna fi shan. So it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to decide what will happen. It's His mashiyat and His will. And every day our Lord is busy in a job. So He's doing things every day. He's doing things. So this ayat, our Mufassireen say, is one of the best ayat of Holy Quran that gives hope to every mu'min that the things are in the control of Allah, and every day He is busy in different tasks. He is sometimes insulting the nations, sometimes giving honor to the nations and respecting the nations, depending on how we behave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think we can run away with it. If we fail to do our political duties towards Allah and to the Imam of our time, we think we can still run away with it. No one can run away, because Allah is governing, He's calling the shots. But we don't understand sometimes how and why we are beaten up, why we are being subjected in this kind of treatment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't understand because we don't have the ma'rifat. That's our own ignorance. You know, like Imam Ali says in Dua Kumail, khafiya makruka. That means your plan is hidden. خفیہ مکروکا. چوبے خداوند صدا نہ دارد. اللہ کی لاتھی میں آواز نہیں ہے. پٹائی ہو رہی ہے مگر پتہ نہیں چل رہا کہ پٹائی ہو کیوں رہی ہے. So we are being treated in this way by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. There are things happening to our life. We don't understand why it is happening to me. Because we don't have the ma'rifat to understand. But that's our problem. It's not Allah's problem. Allah is still going to do what is His best wisdom. Whether we understand it or we don't understand it, it's irrelevant. He is going to His supreme irada at-takwiniya is supreme. Kulla yawmin rabbuna fi shan. Every day our Lord. Now when we find that Uthman, you know, Hazrat Uthman bin Affan, he did all that misuse of Baytul Maal, distributing the Baytul Maal to his relatives, which is khiyanat in Islam. recorded by the Sunni scholars in their books. And after all those khiyanat, Hazrat Abu Zar rahmatullahi alayhi was there. He always used to object and do the Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahy al Munkar and never used to stay quiet. And Prophet had already said, and the narrator of this hadith of Prophet is Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali narrated this hadith that I heard the Holy Prophet saying that ma aqallatil khadra wa la azallatil ghabra that the heaven has never put its shadow, nor does the earth carry the burden of a human more truth-telling than Abu Dharr. So Abu Dharr is the most sadiq person ever walked on the surface of earth. This is Imam Ali's hadith narrated by Imam Ali from the Holy Prophet. Imam Ali is the Rabi of this hadith. So Abu Dharr is such a sadiq person according to the statement of Imam Ali and the Holy Prophet. So Abu Dharr used to go and openly do nasihat against Uthman. And Uthman didn't like that. Finally, he ended up sending Abu Dharr to exile to the city of Rabza. And when Abu Dharr was sent on exile in the time of the Khilafat of Uthman, we find that he put a ban that nobody can accompany Abu Dharr, nobody can do farewell, nobody can go out for wida, barai khuda hafizi, barai farewell of Abu Dharr. Let him go alone. There was an official ban from the government of Uthman for any citizen of Medina to go out for the farewell of Uthman, for farewell of Abu Dharr. Imam Ali alayhi salam violated the ban, and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein violated the ban, and despite the fact that the government had banned it, but they went out for the farewell and wida of Abu Dharr. And at that occasion, Imam Ali alayhi salam said a statement to Abu Dharr in the final moments when he was sending Abu Dharr, you know, when Abu Dharr was departing Medina. And then after that, when his death was done, then Imam Hassan said a statement. This again teaches us a very nice adab, how our Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, see, Imam Hassan never spoke unless his father is done with speaking. This is part of the adab. So right now, you know, I go in different cities and I see some children don't have the etiquettes and adab. You know, their father is standing, their mother is standing, and they are screaming and shouting in front of their parents. They don't have the basic adab of Islam. See, Imam Hassan was silent as long as his dad, Imam Ali, is speaking with Abu Dharr. He was silent. This is against the adab. When your father is speaking to somebody, you stay quiet. Let him finish. But these values are, you know, right now we find some of the children, you know, calling the name of a person 20 years older than him or her, with the first name. Hey, Salim, how are you? But Salim is 25 years older than you. What is this? You know, what is this shameful way of addressing the people? This is an insult, if we think about that. But that's the way some people are, you know, some people are, unfortunately. This is the Western impacts upon the personality of some people. So Imam Hassan was silent until Imam Ali was done with his statement. When Imam Ali finished, then Imam Hassan spoke something, Imam Hussein was silent. And when Imam Hassan was done, I will not tell the statement of Imam Ali and Imam Hassan because that's not our subject tonight. Today, we are talking about Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When Imam Ali and Imam Hassan were done with their statements, then Imam Hussein spoke to Abu Dharr, and that was his statement narrated in Kitabul Ghadir of Allama Amini, volume number 8. Imam Hussein said, Ya Ammah, O uncle, addressing Abu Dharr, In Allah Ta'ala qadirun an yughayyira ma qad tara. Please pay attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to change what you are seeing. That means this situation which you are encountering from the ruler of the time, all the problems that you are facing right now, you need to have trust in Allah, that Allah is Qadir and He is all-powerful to change all this scenario. Allah kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. Again, Imam Hussain read the same ayat which he read similar thing in front of Farazdaq. He recited the same ayat from Surah Al-Rahman, Allah kulla yawmin fahuwa fi shan. This segment which is similar to the ayat in Surah Al-Rahman. And then he said, وَقَدْ مَنَعَكَ الْقَوْمُ دُنْيَاهُمْ. The reason why those people stopped you, their dunya actually stopped you to keep you in this town. As long as you were here, their dunya was threatened. وَمَنَعْتَهُمْ دِينَكَ. And you did not allow those people to harm your religion. That means if you stayed here silently and quietly and you just compromise, okay, let it go, everybody is okay, he's also okay, he's also okay, he's also, everybody is okay. Everybody is calling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't talk bad about anybody. We end up in the Zionist pluralism. Even if you kill a million people, it's a collateral damage. Isn't that right? This is exactly what's going on. You kill as many women and children and innocent and elderly people, and it's a collateral damage. That's fine. Everybody's okay. Don't talk bad about even them. So we end up there. That's the end of the tunnel. So, why the people didn't let you stay here? مَنَعْتَهُمْ دِينَكَ. Your religion did not allow those people. So basically, if you stayed there, you would have objected on their khiyanat and their harams, objected on the tahut of the time. You may have a very comfortable life staying in the city of Medina and conveniences, but your religion would have been gone. You don't grow horns when you lose your religion. You have to understand from the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt by turning to the scholars to interpret your personal spiritual situation. And that's the reason why people keep away from get those viewpoints. So then at the end, Imam Hussain alayhi salam said, فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ الصَّبْرَ وَالنَّصْرَ. What is your responsibility actually towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, is that seek the dua, seek from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to award you patience and nusrat and victory. So don't worry what is happening to you. Your religion is protected. As long as our religion is protected, we don't have to worry about. Everybody is going to die, you know, today or tomorrow. But we need to give first preference to our soul. So he said that, فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهَ الصَّبْرَ وَالنَّصْرِ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the sabr and nusrat. So Imam Hussain alayhi salam has already informed that مَنْ لَحِقَ بِي إِسْتَشْهَدَ وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ. Whosoever joins me became shaheed. And whosoever stays away, turns his back away from me, فَلَنْ يَبْلُغَ الْفَلَاحَ أَبَدًا. He would never get the success. So it's up to us to understand and join the caravan of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, or it's up to us to just turn our back, turn our deaf ears, turn our blind eye to the statements of Ahlul Bayt, which are alive and will stay alive forever, because their personalities are alive and they did everything for the sake of Allah. وَمَا لِلَّهِ يَنْمُو. Everything that done for Allah not just stays alive, but it has further growth in it. So if we turn our backs, our deaf ears to the statement of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, to keep our conveniences of this dunya, then basically we cannot expect any kind of success in any of the worlds. Now coming to the second segment of our presentation, which is about the Quran, because we have Huda, you know, having the Khatmul Quran, and mashallah, this is very encouraging event for our community to find that the parents are giving importance to this this Islamic value of reading and understanding the Holy Quran and practicing its contents. I have mentioned here in my notes 12 points that our Urafa have mentioned about the significance of the Holy Quran, but certainly we do not have the time to talk about all the 12 points. I've maybe just mentioned 5 of 6 of the points only, and maybe we can talk about the rest of the points at some other occasion if possible, inshallah. So these are some of the very significant aspects that we should realize about the importance of Quran, so that we hold respect for this divine book, as much respect as it deserves. The first point that our Urafa have mentioned is that Quran is the first thing that would arrive on the Day of Judgment. When the Day of Judgment happens, everyone is dead. Then we have the Surah of Israfil, the trumpet blown. The first person who will rise up is Rasulullah. He mentioned in his hadith, أَنَا أَوَّلُ مَنْ يَنْشَقُ عَنْهُ الْأَرْضِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ I'm the first one that the earth would rip apart upon me on the Day of Judgment. The earth will open up, and the first person who would stand up is the Holy Prophet. And of course, the second is Imam Ali alayhi salam, who would stand up and all that. So basically, the hadith says that I'm the first one who would, earth would open up from me, quote unquote. So, and then the Prophet has said, and that is in Jami'u Ahadith al-Shia, that Ana awwalu wahidin ala al-aziz al-jabbar yawm al-qiyamah. I'm the first one who would arrive on Allah, wa kitabuhu wa ahlu bayti, and the book of God and my ahlul bayt. So I remember in the Hadith al-Saqalain, Prophet has said, you know, إِنِّي تَعَيْكُنْ فِيكُمْ السَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ حَبْلٌ مَمْدُودٌ بَيْنَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاءِ وَالْآخَرُ الْأَصْغَرُ عِتْرَتِي وَإِنَّهُمَا لَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا حَتَّى يَرِدَ عَلَيَّ الْحَوْضِ So those two will never get separated from each other until they meet me at the fountain of Kawthar. So basically they will always be together, because this is a, you know, khabar-e ghaybi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ahlul Bayt and Quran can never get separated. So we may think that we can separate the Quran and Ahlul Bayt. We are wrong. You know, they themselves are never be get separated from each other. So if you grab the Quran only and leave the hadith of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, leave the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, leave the sunnah of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, it means you have not taken Quran. I mean, because Quran is never separated from Ahlul Bayt. And if somebody says, well, I will just take the Ahlul Bayt and I will not take the Quran, he should understand that he is not even taking Ahlul Bayt. Because when you are not taking Quran, Quran and Ahlul Bayt are never separated from each other, so you are also leaving the Ahlul Bayt when you are leaving the Quran. So we find Quran is the first thing that would arrive on the Day of Judgment, along with the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. Second of all, Quran is the most superior creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran is a creature. It is a mutanazzil. It is the tajalli. Tajalla lahum subhanahu fi kitabihi min ghayri an yakunu ra'auhu. How Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam says in Nahj al-Balagha that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his reflection in the Holy Quran without the people being able to see him. So without people seeing him, Allah is reflecting in his Quran. So this Quran is the zuhur of the tajalli of Allah fi martabatil alfaz, in the stage of the words. So in the level of wordings, it's the reflection of Allah. It's the tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Quran is actually, is a book which is, this is the marhalatun nazila, however mufassirin says. And then we have the higher level, which is actually in the Ummul Kitab. That level of Holy Quran, إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ كَرِيمٌ فِي كِتَابٍ مَكْنُونَ This book is in the hidden book. لَا يَمَسُّهُ إِلَّا الْمُطَهَّرُونَ And in another verse of Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that is Surah Zukhruf, verse number 3 and 4, إِنَّا جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ وَإِنَّهُ فِي أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ لَعَلِيٌّ حَكِيمٌ So this Quran is actually in the mother of all the books. This is in the Ummul Kitab. And it is that someone who has access to the Ummul Kitab will have access to the batin of Quran, and someone who doesn't have access to the Ummul Kitab will never understand the batin of Quran, may only end up understanding the zahir of Quran. So Quran is the most superior creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just like a habl, a rope. What the Prophet said in Khutbatul Ghadir, Hablum Mamdood Bain al Ardh wa Sama. So the lower end is the Martabatun Nazila of Quran, the lower level in the form of words. This is the lower level of the same Quran whose higher level belongs to the Ummul Kitab. So this is just like a rope. You have Fatamasaku bihi la tadhillu. So grab the rope so that you don't get misguided. You have to grab the rope of Allah, and the rope of Allah is Quran. And the third point to remember about the importance of Quran, we have about 5 minutes to go, that is Quran is the only book which provides, which guarantees najat and salvation for the humankind. Because the Prophet has said, and that's also in Jami'u Ahadith al-Shia, that in arattum aisha su'ada, if you guys wish a life of the successful people, wa mauta shuhada, and the death, that of shuhada, a shuhada style death, wa najat yawm al-hashr, and salvation on the day of resurrection, wa dhilla yawm al-harur, and you want shadow on the day where there will be no shadow. On the day of judgment there will be no shadow. Remember we discussed in one of the khutbah of my Eid prayers, I told you, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will yawma tubaddalul ardhu ghayral ardh, and I discussed the anjam and the end result of the jibal in the light of the tafsir of several ayat of Quran. The earth will be flattened on the day of judgment. There will be no mountains and hills and walls and valleys and trees, nothing. It's a flat surface where every human will be resurrected there. So no one can hide himself behind any valley, any ditch or any elevation or summit or hill or mountain. There's no room for anybody to hide or escape. It's a flat surface on the day of judgment. So when there's a flat surface, it doesn't make sense to imagine any kind of shadow. There is no shadow on a flat surface. It's impossible to have a shadow on the flat surface. So, وَظِلَّ يَوْمَ الْحُرُورِ, somebody who wants to have a shadow on the day of warmth, وَالْهُدَى يَوْمَ الظَّلَالَ, and somebody who wants guidance on the day of misguidance, فَدْرُسُ الْقُرْآنِ. If you want all those conveniences in your life, then you should study Quran. The reason why the Islamic Ummah is the downtrodden among all the nations, because we turned our backs from Quran and the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam. And except some of the people who are doing their job and they are the reason and cause of the respect and dignity of Islam. فَإِنَّهُ كَلَامُ الرَّحْمَنُ وَحِرْزٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ وَرُجْحَانٌ فِي الْمِيزَانِ. Because Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word of Rahman, and it's a hirz and protection from the Satan, and it's a rujhan, that means it's a weight in the scale on the day of judgment, the mizan of amal, where our actions will be weighed and scaled on the day of judgment. We are almost out of time, so maybe we can talk about the rest of the things at some other occasion. I don't want to go beyond the time limit. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Huda and bless his family for further recitation and understanding and amal and action over the muhtawa and contents of the Holy Quran and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salatu wassalam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of the mu'mineen and mu'minat, and especially all of you, all of us, to practice the teachings of the Holy Quran and to implement the teachings of the Holy Quran and the Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين سيم الولي الفقي قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان، واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Oh.